First of all, if you look at your notes, actually they're almost identical to what I'm looking at right here. So if you can look at them, it says the first point is the love and justice of God, and that's in verse 12. And it says that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in righteousness. Now, when you look at a verse like that, you're going, boy, that doesn't sound like God really loves anybody. But in reality, what he's saying there in this verse is that those who believe the truth and have pleasure in righteousness, God loves them. They're not going to be condemned. So Wednesday nights, we like to think of this as the believer's service. So I would like you to think of it this way. If you love the Lord and believe it, this is more something that you can share with people as we go along, as you go along for the next several weeks. Just be look this up. Make sure it's something that I'm not, you know, scamming you. So anyway, so a correct belief, as I've written down there, in the revealed word of God has the result of bringing the believer to salvation. Not being a believer has just the opposite effect. And so we looked at that in verse 11. It says, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And then in Romans 1:20 through 21, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is the result of not believing the Lord. And we see it all around us. State of California is a perfect example all by itself. But all this stuff, it takes place right here between your ears. It's in the mind. Anybody who refuses to believe God and believe in the Word, they are completely responsible. They're personally responsible for accepting the delusion that they have allowed to shape their eternal destiny. Ultimately, people are going to be deluded by what they see and what they hear. Now, I thought, well, the AI revolution is going to be a good example. Now, I regularly look at YouTube for a lot of different reasons. One of them is to fix things around the house that break. Does anybody here use YouTube for that? Yeah, I mean, we all do. I mean, if you can't find it on YouTube, it probably doesn't exist. Anyway, and you may have noticed, though, that things have become kind of strange on YouTube. I've been watching this YouTube for years. Barbara and I, we enjoy watching some of the commentaries and on politics and things like that, or they'll have some, you know, snippets of old films that are really funny. But there's a lot more than that. As I mentioned there in the notes, I like to tie artificial flies for fishing. I've been doing it for a long time. But you discover there are hundreds or even thousands of fly tying videos that teach you how to tie one little tiny fly. And there are hundreds of thousands of them. We watch music videos. I love to watch, I know this is terrible, but I like to watch Michael Jackson do the moonwalk. I think it's so cool. Anyway, but you also get news and political stuff and from around the world and everything. And like I put down there, good old Google. It doesn't take very long for Google to find out what you like to watch and delivered to you in buckets. And you're wondering, well, isn't there anything else happening but what I like to watch? I don't know, maybe, but Google won't tell you. AI started to become the software developer's main tool. So you want to ask yourself, what is artificial intelligence? Now, I discovered not that long ago ChatGPT, which is probably the most commonly used AI program. It allows you to do all kinds of stuff. It's great for doing research and stuff. I'm not going to pay for it because I'm not a company. I don't have a need for that much depth. But I asked ChatGPT to define it, what AI actually is. And ChatGPT told me, it says, artificial intelligence, AI, is technology that allows computers to do tasks that normally require human intelligence. That includes things like recognizing speech, understanding language, and spotting patterns, solving problems, generating images, and making decisions. But what it is no humans are involved. AI is progressing that rapidly, and it learns as it goes along. Now, Bible programs, for example, have AI in them. Now, the one I've been using since 1996, it's called the Logos Bible System, and it's an enormous program, and I don't think there's a bottom to it. It's just huge, and it's a great tool. But you have other writing programs, there are grammar correctors, legal library searches, and even the ability to write research papers. I am so glad I don't teach high school anymore. I had a rule that if I caught somebody plagiarizing, I immediately flunked them for the whole semester. But then you have military applications, specifically weapons. When I was in the military, I was a weapons specialist, and you always had to have when I first started, I was a gun captain on a destroyer that shot it was an anti-aircraft gun, and it shot, if you can believe this, it shot huge cartridges about this high to the top, I guess, probably about 3 feet long, and it would shoot 90 rounds a minute. Yeah, it fired so fast, you had to have somebody standing on both sides of it just to feed it. But in order to shoot it, you had to pull the trigger, and somebody else, the guy that was actually aiming the gun, who was up in someplace else in the ship, he had to pull his trigger, and it took two people in order to fire the gun. Nowadays, with AI, it doesn't take anybody. AI figures it out and kills. But there are a lot of other examples. One of them I have on here, an example, I took it off of YouTube. AI just decoded the Book of Enoch and reveals an unexpected message. The Book of Enoch, of course, it's not in the Bible, but believe it or not, in the book of my brain just did a bad thing as usual. Anyway, one of the last book before Book of Revelation has large chunks of that were taken by the writer Jude. That's it anyway, from the Book of Enoch. Google's quantum AI. It was asked, Who built the universe? Here's what it replied. And then the title was, Did the Book of Daniel Predict AI? I think the people that wrote that, the Book of Daniel maybe predicted them. But it's a small sample. You know, you could go on for hours and hours. When we first started watching AI altered videos, it was really easy to find the errors that were being made. And it kind of learns as it goes along. One time we were watching it, my wife is more observant than I am. And she said, we're sitting there and she goes, it's AI. And I go, what? Nah, it looks okay to me. And she goes, no, watch. The guy, look at the pen in the guy's pocket. And there was a pen in his pocket. It kept vanishing, appearing, reappearing, disappearing. You see this stuff all the time. Now it's getting better. But we're smart. Human beings are smart. And we can spot it immediately. But there will be a time when we may not be able to do that. So as time goes by, like I said, AI learns. What you don't want AI to do is to become self-aware. But I think already the Pandora's box has been open. Now, when your dog or cat or parakeet looks in a mirror, what do they see? Another dog, another cat, or a budgie. If you have seen sci-fi films like 2001, Space Odyssey, or newer ones, then you'll see that the self-aware machine does not want one thing done, and that's to have it unplugged. And it will do what it takes to keep the plug plugged in. In the recent conflict with Iran that we're having right now, the Iranians correctly envisioned the number of drones or small fast boats. You've heard about those. They have missiles on them and stuff. If launched, in large enough numbers, it will overpower the ability for a ship to defend itself. It could overwhelm any defense 5 years ago, but a lot of things have changed in 5 years. AI has changed all that. Now, the weapons just need no human decision maker. The enemy is destroyed, and most often, before they can even get really close. Many of our military weapons are designed by AI. And then, you know, moving like I have down there, moving on. Recently, there's been an increased interest in interstellar aliens. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up with loving science fiction. I read lots of books and watched movies and stuff. But the key work there is fiction. One of my favorite science fiction movies is Men in Black. Probably a lot of you have seen that. In that film, the Earth is sort of an intergalactic bus stop. Aliens come from all over the universe or universes to take a vacation, seek asylum, have a baby, or whatever they wanted to do. In the movies I've seen, the movie has not rationally explained the problems of interstellar travel. When you understand the science, you quickly understand the impossibility of it. I'll lay it out for you. The distance is the biggest problem. One of the closest galaxies that scientists think that they may have life in it is the Andromeda Galaxy. The distance of this galaxy is 2.51 million, plus or minus 0.3 million light years away. Now, a light year is the distance light can travel in 1 year. At 186,282 miles per second. Placing yourself in an alien's shoes, assuming they have feet, you would have to travel 2.5 million years just to get here at the speed of light. Now, Albert Einstein's famous equation, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, it would have to postulate that anyone traveling at the speed of light could very possibly become energy itself. And I don't think I'd like to be transformed into a bolt of lightning. I got enough problems as it is. Plus, I'm really slow. Anyway, but as I mentioned, the DC Comics, The Flash, would have nothing on you. But what is disconcerting is that people, including a lot of people who go to church, but are not believers, they believe this. The Lord created the universe in such a way that anybody in it, if traveling, for example, to our corner of the Milky Way galaxy, has to obey certain physical laws. Things like gravity, momentum, that is, a body in motion tends to stay in motion, etc. The Lord is the only being that is never subject to physical laws. Once I was speaking to one of my students. I love this one. I was speaking to one of my students, and he said, and I'll paraphrase it, "What if the aliens travel at warp speed?" I was able to explain that Star Trek was fiction. I don't really know if he believed me, but like I said, may he live long and prosper. The problem is that we have been marinating in fiction for so long, we are, or at least some of us, are not capable of discerning truth from fiction. You watch really great cowboy movies, like my favorite is, Tombstone. I love Tombstone. But you know what? It's a work of fiction. It's what they kind of give it a, there's a possibility that some of the things that the people said and did were true, but probably a lot of them were not. Some of the things that they recount in the movie were true, but not everything. Have you ever noticed that fighter pilots, they wear weird clothes? You know, they have all kinds of like tubing and things like that on them. The clothes are made, they're pressurized in such a way as to prevent the effects of gravity that will create blackouts at high-speed turns or climbs. One of my resources states that an F-22 Raptor, which is one of our most recent air fighter craft, and then the F-16 Fighting Falcon, they're capable of achieving G-forces of up to 20 Gs. A tight turn at Mach 3, that is three times the speed of sound, could theoretically generate over 20 to 30 Gs. If attempted abruptly, which is far beyond the human tolerance, even with that special suit and all that, they could not withstand the forces that were put upon them. And the plane would probably disassemble itself. In other words, you would simply die. Mild G-forces, like 2 or 3 Gs, are what make people go to Magic Mountain to be tortured. And their fastest ride there will drop you or take you at 3.2 Gs. So just think, if you're traveling, you're doing 10 Gs. or 8 G's. It's scary to think of. Now, they have all these pictures of alien aircraft that were taken by pilots, commercial plane flights and things like that. And they're traveling at roughly Mach 17. And they decide to make a sudden 90-degree turn. Now, put yourself in a really nice 60s muscle car and do 120 miles an hour. I had a car that did that. In fact, I drove it at that one time. But what if you turned 90 degrees suddenly? What would happen? You would disassemble along with the car. Okay? So the book of Revelation has this to say. I doubt, that we're going to be here, thank goodness. But somebody will be, especially the false prophet. Revelation chapter 13, verses 14 and 15 says, "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth." That is what a delusion is. A delusion is a deception, a scam. Now, I'm a firm believer that people see what they want to see. Now, if you've ever watched a movie or a TV show like Forensic Files or anything like that, the difficulty the police have in getting a description of somebody who's a bank robber. Oh, he's wearing a red shirt. He's 6 foot high. No, he's 5 foot two. And it really wasn't a guy, it was a woman. Wait a minute. They had crossed eyes. No, they had blue eyes. No, they were an albino. You go on and on. And the more people that give evidence, the less believable they become. And it makes it extremely difficult. I believe the same thing, these pictures. If you want to believe that that's an alien spacecraft, have at it. But the alien spacecraft has got to obey physical laws. Now, I remember listening to one pilot. He said he was following an alien spacecraft and it took off, and it was doing about 13,000 miles per hour. You can imagine that in our atmosphere. And he made a sudden right turn. Now, if he's made out of any kind of organic material, the inside of the spacecraft is going to look like it was used as something for grandma's canned strawberry jam. But it can't be done. It can't happen. Last Wednesday, Pastor Terry emphasized the importance of belief. You cannot minimize it. Belief is not, for example, belief is not an assent to the fact that Jesus lived, he died on a cross, and he died on a cross. That will not save you. It's just one step that you can take. A majority of historians going as far back as Tacitus and Josephus describe Jesus' life and ministry. So we know he was there. So it's easy to believe in the existence of Jesus, but it's more difficult to believe in other things, like a sacrifice that he made. Why is Jesus' sacrifice more valuable than any other sacrifice? Why does his sacrifice allow God to forgive all sin of those who finally believe? The effectiveness of a sacrifice is measured by how valuable the sacrificial victim is, and for anyone to be that valuable is impossible. The only one who had the value of that Jesus had is Jesus himself, because he was the Son of God. The Jews understood this. Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, they don't understand this. They don't have a clue. But let me put it this way. The way the Jews understand it is that if a man and his wife have a baby, is the baby not human? Well, of course not. The baby's human. The baby is an equal human to his father. And that's what we have to understand. That makes Jesus' sacrifice as the Son of God to be infinitely effective. We have to think it through carefully, though. Too much is contained in all the stuff that's gone before. You have to imagine the scene. The false prophet has made a proclamation. Here's what he's going to say. A live image, and the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, a live image has been made of this wonderful new world leader. We call him the Antichrist. And a man who stopped war. He's had the capability of creating a war that will destroy all human life on the planet. And he's survived a wound that anybody else would not survive. The world leader is also unveiled in these and will be instrumental, along with the false prophet, in bringing a new world religion that will unite all mankind and at the same time answer the deepest questions that have plagued mankind for all recorded history. So, for example, we are not alone in the universe. You have to understand this. What have we been talking about? Have you been paying attention to the news? They're going to open the books and say, oh, these are all the sightings of alien spacecraft. And then he's going to have created a statue that will be unveiled worldwide, and all citizens of the earth must watch the unveiling. The statue of the world leader is so lifelike, and it radiates power and a love for all mankind, but there's a catch. The false prophet explains that the leader has confided in him that he cannot, that he himself cannot lead or govern when there are groups who refuse to accept his authority. Guess what happens to the groups? The false prophet will announce that the leader has authorized him to execute anyone who refuses to participate. Now, if this sounds like the book series Left Behind, I can't blame you. It's just an educated guess. But when you're reading the book of Revelation, the stuff is there. All you have to do is kind of move it forward. You know, the Apostle John, when he wrote the book, he was writing what he was just recording what he was seeing in his visions. We don't know exactly what it was, but he explained what he was seeing in, trying to think of the word, in the vernacular of the day. People that lived at that time may have very well been able to understand some of what he saw, but not all of it. It's kind of interesting the way things are going now for the church. Hopefully, the church will be raptured by this time. I believe so. But believers will be martyred in their refusal to bend a knee to whoever is running the new world order. That's because there will be people saved during the tribulation period. Many who believe countries can't change rapidly as the book of Revelation describes, they're deceived. For example, the nations of the EU, and particularly the UK, are glutted right now with an influx of legal and illegal Islamic immigrants. The UK was once the seat of the Christian missionary movement. At one point, the average survival time for a missionary in Africa, for example, was about 6 months. And there were people standing in line to become missionaries to Africa. How about now? If you watch a TV show or something about the UK, what are churches now? Well, in one of the shows that we watched, they were a police station. They had all the really cool stained glass windows and, with Jesus and the cross and things like that. But they had a jail there. In the UK also, there are whole cities that are under a form of Sharia law. Persecution. The early church isn't by itself the target of persecution, but for example, in northern Iraqi, Christian communities have been decimated, their people simply murdered, but this is going on all over the world right now. During the 20th century, there were many, many people martyred, perhaps Christians, they estimate as high as 45 million. In this century, there's about 100,000 to 160,000 Christians killed per year. Now, this time, we've got about 8.4 billion people that will enter probably the Great Tribulation period. About 3/4 of the population will be killed by war, disease, and natural disasters. The book of Revelation estimates that when the final battle takes place, it will take Israel about 7 months to bury the corpses of the attacking armies. Now, if you look at any large building project going on right now, and they have all the earth movers and all that, and it's still going to take them 7 months. We're responsible for using our heads and hardening our faith. We've got to do that right now. Every day, we have decisions that we have to make. Do we have enough money in our bank account to pay the bills? We guesstimate how long is it going to take to go to work. I worked in Covina for 8 years. It's not very far. It's about 34 or 35 miles. That drive would sometimes take 2 to 3 hours. On a good day, less than an hour. But all this is complicated if you have to drop your kids off at school. And the challenges that we have in life. Illness, trying to get a competent medical care, whatever. And there's a great deal more. You got to help your kids with homework, cooking, cleaning, buying a new fridge, and worse, a new car. But the Lord gave us a brain that is so much more powerful than anything that we can conceive to take us through this life. Did you know that your brain absorbs everything that goes on around you, whether you realize it or not? When I was a kid, I watched a brain operation on TV, and the neurosurgeon was touching portions of a guy's brain with an electrode. And he would ask him questions. Now, what are you seeing now? And the guy was saying, oh, it's my mother. Now, this is back in the day. She just put a pie on the windowsill to cool off. And I can hear birds chirping in the background. And you're kind of like going, what? You know, but see, our brain is so much more powerful than we anticipate, that we can even think of. It absorbs everything. Why did God give us a brain like that? Because he wants us to use it. God is very efficient. So when you have a tool like this, don't waste it. Use it. You know, he gave us, he prepared us to make decisions that are based on faith, our knowledge of his word, and all of it to keep us from the enemy and to serve him. To serve the Lord. Do not be deceived. And this is 2 Thessalonians 2:10. I'm just going to read that. Most of us are easily deceived, but the Lord said, now let me see, let me get to it here. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We live in a world where the people are consumed by taking pleasure in unrighteousness. If you don't believe me, watch the watch a football game and look at the what goes on at the midway point, at the entertainment that they have. Look what happened at Dodger Stadium a while back with the Sisters of, Eternal Indulgence or something like that. We have to be like the Bereans. In Acts 17:11, said that now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And that's what we have to be. We have to be Bereans. We live in Rialto or San Bernardino or Fontana, but we still have to be Bereans. Our ultimate allegiance is to the great Lord and God in heaven, and in Jesus Christ, his Son.